I would like to invite you to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I'll be reading from the NSAB version. John chapter 4. And he had to pass through Samaria. He is Jesus, by the way. And Jesus had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from the journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman, said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is it who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are no greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water spring up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." This is a very powerful story, and we just are covering just part of it. Easily, you can do a sermon series on this story because of all the moving parts that it has. Very beautiful, very awesome. And it's a story that all of us have heard over and over. I mean, you've heard this preached so many times. And so I want to invite you probably to another perspective of the story. Again, John picks stories. He picks different types of stories. And the stories that John picks are related to him in some shape and form. And here we have a story that follows the story of Nicodemus. Here we have a man who is named by his name. Here we have a woman who's not named at all. You know, in one story you have a man who's seeking Jesus in secret. This woman is coming alone. And so we have a very interesting setting going on here with this story. And the first thing I want to invite you to is that Jesus had, and I want to underline that word, had. Jesus, he had to pass through Samaria. Other versions says he needed to pass through Samaria. And so the first thing that I would like to accentuate this morning is that Jesus needs to pass through Samaria. And that Samaria can be the Samaria of our communities, but it also can be your Samaria. Because each one of us has a Samaria. Each one of us is thirsting. Each one of us are hurting. Each one of us are struggling. Each one of us has a moment of doubt of faith. Sometimes we have this mechanic of faith. We just go because that's the custom. We just do it because we're just loyal to doing it. But we have lost the meaning. We have lost the spirit of it. And we just have a Samaria situation. And so I'm so happy that Jesus, he has to pass through Samaria. He wants to pass through Samaria. And I love it because, you know, he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being worried from the journey, was sitting thus by the well. And I love the fact, in other versions, that he was thirsty. He wants to drink. So Jesus needs to go to Samaria, and he's thirsty, he's worried. And it's about the sixth hour. And that's very important. It's about the sixth hour. And so there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, we need to understand something here. This woman is coming right in the middle of the day to the well. And this well has a history, by the way. This well goes way back when. And at the well, people would gather twice in the day. In the morning, they would gather in the well. And that in the morning, it was to catch up with the news. What's going on? What's happening? How are things going? How are you doing? How's your family? What's happening in the town? What's happening in the village? That was the conversation in the morning. But in the evening, it was another type of conversation. And we find this from way back when. In the evening, it was when boy meets girl. Remember that time when boy meets girl? Remember that time when you fell in love for the first time, when you saw the person that you said, wow, that's the person I want to be with. That was the time in the evening. In the evening, boys would come and girls would come. And so the boys would kind of look at the girls and see which one really kind of spoke to them. And so they had this one pickup line. They had a pickup line that they said this pickup line to the girls would recognize the pickup line. It was the oldest pickup line on the book. And so the boys would come up and go to the girl. And if the girl really, really, you know, blessed him and greatly, they would come and say to her, hey, give me a drink of water. And that was the pickup line. When they said, give me a drink of water, it was the pickup line. It happened from the old. In Genesis, we see stories of this. We see Moses. We see Isaac. You know, there's pickup lines all over where people met their spouses at the well. And so this pickup line is, give me a drink of water. And when they heard, give me a drink of water, we're like, okay, this guy means serious business. And so what we find here in the language, God, in the language of the Bible, is utilizing this flirting language. And Jesus meets with this woman at a time where nobody goes to the well. Jesus needed to go through Samaria. He is thirsting. He goes to the well. He sits at the well. Now you need to understand, the word needed is connected to sitting. Jesus needs to go to Samaria. He wants to sit in that well. He wants to encounter her. And when he meets with a Samaritan woman, who is coming weary, he tells her, give me a drink of water. He uses the pickup line. Now, this is interesting. Why would Jesus use a pickup line? There's a story behind the story, and we read part of that story right here. This woman, she had five. And the one she had right now did not belong to her. That meant that she came to the well, and that meant a boy came up to her, and a boy said to her, give me a drink. And if things didn't work out, and she left that boy, and she came to the well again, and she got another pickup line, where she said, give me a drink, and she said yes, and that didn't work out. And she kept on coming, until the point that the villages got to know who she was, and the mothers started protecting the boys, and the village started rejecting her and pushing her away, and why do you come? So that's why she's coming in the middle of the day. She has been pushed away completely. She's been completely pushed, rejected, do not come in the normal times to the well. So she's coming at a not normal time to the well. And Jesus is the one who encounters her. Now Jesus knows that she has a cycle in her life that keeps on hurting her. And how many of us have been in a place where we keep on doing the same things and we keep on hurting ourselves with the same things, but we don't dare step out of it. And we don't dare step out of it because it's more comfortable to feel the familiar hurt than it is to walk in the newness of beauty and happiness. Sometimes that which hurts us and that what takes us down for decisions that we have made is more familiar. Sometimes we create a story in our head that we are not good enough, that we don't deserve nothing but what we're living. Sometimes we stick to the bubble because it's the only thing we can see and it's the only thing we want to believe. I was in Nicaragua once, and we went to this small little island, Ometepe. And there we went to Nicaragua to Kovanik, which was the school, the Adventist school over there. We went over there, and we picked up some kids, and we brought them. And we thought to ourselves, instead of bringing missionaries from the States, let's bring missionaries from their own place, and let's bring them and bring them to Ometepe. And right there, we're going to build a classroom, and we're going to do some evangelism and so on, etc. And there was a kid right there. And these two kids start fighting and fighting and fighting. And I step in and I say, guys, you need to calm down. They kept on fighting throughout the day. They got annoying. I finally grabbed them both and I talked to them and I scolded them and they walked back. And then there's one kid. And I see he was sad and I go up to him. I said, look, kid, I know I've just met you. We have spent just a few days together. But I want to tell you, you are loved. I love you. And he looks at me, he says, don't say that. And I said, but I love you. Don't say that, Pastor. Don't say that. I've never heard those words said to me before. Don't say that. He says, what about your father? And they haven't. Don't say that. I said, I grabbed him, I hugged him, and I said, I love you. And he just broke down in tears. So he was living a life where he was pushing away people, not letting nobody get close to him. Why? Because it hurts. And some of us have built a fortress around us, a fortress around our a vicious cycle that keeps on hurting our hearts and hurting our lives. And I wish it was something that belonged to the teenage age only. But it happens in all of our ages. We do certain things. We actually sometimes even hurt ourselves before somebody else hurts us. And so Jesus shows up at the well and says, give me a drink. He speaks the language that she understands. Do you get that? Jesus speaks the language that she gets because she doesn't get no other language. So Jesus has to use the flirt language, the pickup line. And I would like to say he sacredly flirts and says, give me a drink. And her reaction, wait a minute. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Is this going to work? And so Jesus, and I love what Jesus says, because Jesus always starts with something that's familiar to us to bring us to that which is not familiar to us. I love that he does that. And you see that through his whole story. He always starts in a place that we knew, that we're familiar with, and he takes us to a place that we're not familiar with. If you knew who is asking you for a drink, you would ask him for a drink of water. And basically he says, living waters. Living water. She's like, she's not familiar with that concept. What are you talking about? How can you get into the well? You have nothing to get into the well. Have you ever noticed in Scripture that when people ask questions to Jesus, Jesus never actually answers the question? Have you noticed that Jesus always brings up something about that they're not seeing? If you knew, I can give you living waters. Waters that are so beautiful, so amazing. What you really are needing, what you're not understanding, that what you're seeking in the arms of man, you can only find in me. And that's what we don't get. Because when we're so obsessed, we're trying to find things in our life. When we're so obsessed of trying to keep that fortified city around us so we're protected by hurt, what we don't understand that what we're searching in those things, what we're searching in that pain, what we're searching in that vicious cycle, we can only find in the arms of God. And so we're blinded. This is the beauty of the gospel. So amazing. We're blinded. We're so blind. She keeps on coming in the middle of the day because she feels that somehow that's going to fill her need. So she keeps on coming to a well where there's nobody, where there's only loneliness, where there's only pain, where she drinks the same water constantly and she's always thirsty. She's blinded. And we are blinded as well. And if he does not thirsty, if he doesn't come to that well and interrupts our cycle, we'll never see him. You see, Jesus is the one who erupted, who interrupted your cycle so you and I could be here. It's not something that we do. It's something that he has done for us. Notice what Paul says in Romans. While we were still sinners. When you had no idea about God. When you had no idea about repentance. When you had no idea about surrendering your life to God. God was working with you. He was sitting at that well. And so the invitation that Jesus is trying to do to this woman is someone power says, you are blind, you can't see, and that's why I'm coming here. That's why I'm interrupting your cycle, and I'm offering living water. This will heal you. This will bless you. This will embrace you. This is not a one-time thing. I'm going to walk with your journey. I'm not going to say, you know, you're on your own. Once you believe you're on your own, no, I'm going to walk with you in a journey. Because there's going to be a lot of times that you want to revert back to that well. There's going to be a lot of times that you're going to want to drink that water once again. I'm going to be with you. There's something powerful about the gospel. The gospel allows us to understand that we are worse than what we thought we are. But we are loved beyond our imagination. So Jesus says, give me a drink. Give me a drink of water. Sit with me. And I love this because she says, you know, are you greater than, you know, are you greater from our father, Jacob, and so on, etc.? You know, we always go to the familiar. Have you ever noticed that? When Jesus does an invitation to our life, we always try to go to the food. We always try to deviate. We always look for secondary truths. Let me put it that way. We always look for secondary truths when the main truth is staring right at us. And you guys know the conversation. The conversation goes, well here's the place of worship, or there's the other place of worship, and Jesus says, not there, it's not here, it's here. It's me. My dear family, if Jesus is not the center of the water that we're drinking, the water that we're drinking will give us thirst again. There is no doctrine, there's no lifestyle that can substitute Jesus. It has to be him. He has to be the centerpiece. And when he becomes the centerpiece, everything else makes a lot of sense. Because a belief, a doctrine, an understanding, a religious system without Jesus is not really freedom. It's burden. We will find ourselves like the Samaritan woman, always going to the well, seeking for more and more water. I have a term for that. It's called Christian druggies. And what is Christian druggies? We're always looking for the week of prayer. We're always looking for that spiritual retreat because we're always thirsty. And Jesus is trying to invite you to a personal relationship where he can sit at your well and say, give me a drink of water. Let's wrestle, you and I. Let's come into a relationship of intimacy. Show me your heart. Show me your darkness. Show me your selfishness. Show me what's going on in your life. I can wrestle with it. I can deal with it. Let me tell you something I repeat in my church all the time. God, the issue of God is not your sin. He knows what to do with your sin. The issue of God is your decision. It's you choosing him. And it's not just the choice of when you gave your life to Christ and you went into baptism and you chose Christ. Yes, that's a great choice. But we need to choose him every single day. Every single instant. Because when I take matters in my own hand, the vicious cycle starts again. When I trust my wits and my hands more than God, I need to make that decision again. What I love about this is that Jesus is saying, hey, I want to make an exchange of water. Give me your water for my water. Let me drink of your well and you drink of my well. Do you get that? Because later on, we find Jesus in the cross. And at the sixth hour, they give him some sour wine. He is thirsty. And what do we give him? Sour wine. And Jesus says, I will drink that sour wine. Drink living waters. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's meeting you where you are, and then he's giving you of his water. I remember there was this one episode, and I love traveling, by the way. I don't know how many of you love traveling. I love traveling and love visiting different cultures around the world and have the opportunity of visiting around the United States and so on. And one day, one of my travels, I got up and I was just praying, Lord, please let no one sit right beside me. It's one of those selfish prayers, you know. And I was saying, Father, please let nobody, no one, absolutely no one sit right beside me. No one, absolutely no one. And the plane got full, it got super full, and there's only two seats that were available that were right beside me. And I was so happy because till that point, God was answering my prayer, and I was so happy about that. And then came in two models. And at the time, I was not married, so then in came two models. And I saw the two models, and I said, Lord, I want to change my prayer. And suddenly, the models start walking down the aisle, and they stop where I was, and she tells me, we're sitting right there. So I get up. I stand up, I said, please sit down. And they sat down, and I sat down. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And so I said, Lord, now I need a pickup line. I need a good pickup line, Lord. Give me a good pickup line. Now, let me tell you, there's so many things about this. First of all, I'm selfish. Second of all, very superficial. So God, so of course, God is going to do something in your life, you know. So God interrupts me. Passion for the lost, Peter. And I'm like, I keep on thinking about the pickup line. Lord, I need a help with the pickup line. Passion for the lost. I need help with the pickup line. I'm kind of trying to ignore God. And I'm sitting right there, and there's this big battle in my head. Passion for the lost, passion for the pickup line, passion for the lost. And I, Lord, do you know what a vacation is? Let me explain. You don't know that you're not familiar with the concept of vacation, Father. Let me explain what vacation is. Pickup line, passion for the lost, passion for the lost. I finally gave up because I knew God was going to ruin it for me. And so right in front of me is my Bible. So I grab my Bible and I open my Bible. And I'm trying to find something to read when one of the models looks at me and says, "Hey, is that a Bible?" And I look at her. And I look away and I'm like, passion for the lost, passion for the lost. And so I grab my Bible and I say, "Yes, it's a Bible. Are you a pastor? Passion for the lost, passion for the lost." "Yes, I'm a pastor." And so she's like, "Can I see the Bible?" And I'm like, "Yes." So I gave her the Bible. And so she starts looking through my Bible and she stops in her favorite psalms. She shows me her favorite psalms. And she keeps on going through the Bible and she stops on these sticky notes. And these sticky notes are my first performed wedding. And so she goes through the sticky notes and she says, "Is this a wedding?" And I'm like, "Yes, it's a wedding." And she starts crying. And the model right beside her starts crying. And I'm like, "What's going on here?" And she looks at me, she says, "I got divorced 9 months ago." And the other model said, "And I had an abortion." And so I had the opportunity to minister to these models for 3.5 hours. Was it free from selfishness? No. And I'm being vulnerable here. In my mind, I was thinking, "Lord, please, give, you know, since we're working here." You see how God works in our life? You see how God interacts? Do we get to a point where we're worthy of? No. But in spite of, God still works through us. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They're thirsting for water. I am thirsting for water. They're thirsting for water at a certain level. I am thirsting at a water for a certain level. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not the time right now, Peter. Now is the time to give my living waters. And for you, I have living waters as well. But you need to trust me. You see, God is working with all three of us right there and then. And God meets us. See, Jesus meets us where we are. And he says, "Give me your sour wine so I may drink it, that you may have living waters flowing in your life." So the question this morning is, where's your water? Would you like to give it to Jesus? I would like to have a prayer. And if there's someone needing living waters, you can stand up, you can kneel down, you can come to the altar, or you can just stay sitting. It's okay. I just want to pray for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for coming to our well. I know. The water's really dirty down there. It's a life that has hurt us over and over, Father, but we thank you because you made it a priority to meet us there. And when other people don't understand, Father, we thank you because you're sitting right at the well asking us to give you a drink. And so, Father, we want to give you a drink of our life. We want to give you a drink of our darkness, of our sinfulness, of the reality of our life, Lord. And we know, Father, that it's disgusting, it's hard. But we thank you, Father, because you're inviting us to do so. And so we want to surrender, Father, completely. And just give you a drink that we may drink the living waters that you have given us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for meeting us. Thank you for speaking our language. Thank you for meeting us in our context. Thank you, Lord, for interrupting our world of hurt and pain, of turmoil. Thank you for interrupting our cycle, Father. Thank you for embracing us, holding us, hugging us, and letting us know over and over, "I love you." So, Father, here we are. If there's someone thirsty this morning, I want to pray for that heart. If there's someone in need of your touch, I want to pray for that heart, Father. If there's someone who's indifferent, I want to pray for that heart. Thank you, Lord. Bless it. Amen. God bless you.